Now, on the bright side of things, we are 7-3, and we're still going to play a couple of, like Doug calls them, tomato cans, and maybe we got just a couple of more wins, and maybe we get in the playoffs, and who knows what could happen, because there are no Megatrons out there as far as a football team. Anybody can get beat, and really on any time in this particular season.
Yeah, I'll agree with that, Eddie. But you know what? The way they played tonight, they could lose to anybody. I agree that, you know, maybe they're the best of the tomato cans, but they can't compete against the three teams that have been better than them. They looked awful against Houston, Green Bay, and now tonight San Francisco. And Lovie was wrong. Lovie said after the game that, you know, his team is still on top of the NFC North. That is not true.
They may have
the same record as Green Bay, but they lose the tiebreaker as of right now. So as of today, as of this very moment, they're a wild card team. And again, if they play anything like this the rest of the way, they won't win many more games, if any. I mean, that was as bad a performance and an embarrassing performance as I've ever seen in a Chicago Bears uniform.
You know, David, I hear you talking and I hear Lovie talking, but once again, if I looked at this football game and I saw certain things happen defensively, and you're right, they come out and they shifted it, but I never saw, except for maybe it was the New York game, that an offensive line could get whipped that badly. And I mean talking about whipped. I mean talking about running over Kareemi, Webb. That's the part that really bothers me, because if you can't block, if you can't give that quarterback, I don't care who is back there, surely Lovie had to say something about that offensive line.
He did. He admitted that they were awful. I mean, you know, he didn't use the word awful. He just said it wasn't nearly good enough for NFL caliber. I think that was his terminology after
that's
the
being,
game.
That's being kind.
That is being kind. And, you know, you could say the same thing about the defensive line. They didn't do much better either. But it always starts, guys, at least with me it always has, starts with the offensive line. And I don't care if it was Unitas, Marino, Bart Starr.
It wouldn't matter.
The best of the best. It wouldn't have made a difference. Nah. Unfortunately, Campbell just adds to the mix because, no offense to him, he's got a pus arm, he's got no mobility, he didn't have much judgment on one of the two interceptions. And, you know, like Cutler, he didn't know to get rid of the ball when he saw those guys coming. So he exasperated the situation, but there's no question. It starts with the offensive line, and I don't know if they're the worst in the NFL, but they're real close.
And the other thing, too, I mean, our special teams, Hester, it's like he's running. I don't know where he's running. That's not working out. We're not getting good field position. You see, when we don't get turnovers, when a defense doesn't go out there and get turnovers, on top of that score, you know, we were lucky to win a couple games just because the defense scored. So the fact is that now that luxury was not there today. Now it's time for the offense to take over, and they can't do it. They can't take
they can't.
Over.
Help me out with this, guys, because, you know, a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, Devin Hester was on his way to the Hall of Fame, the greatest kick returner of all time. And you know what, guys? He's not even in the top 25 of kick returners, punt or kick returners, in the NFL today. He's gone so backwards, it's almost hard to explain. And on that one where he literally was going sideways and then he ran backwards towards his own end zone, almost like he's running the wrong way on purpose, I just can't explain it anymore. He's lost in the ozone. Again, nothing redeeming. I will say that Brian Urlacher had a couple of nice hits, and he made a couple of nice plays, even though he's still really slow. But beyond that, the safeties were terrible. The cornerbacks were terrible. The defensive and offensive linemen were awful. Brandon Marshall played hard, and he got into it a little bit, so he showed some emotion. I'll give him a half a gold star. But that's about it, guys.
Other David, they played a better football team, man for man. And you cannot argue with that. And you can argue with is, where was the fight?
Where
was the determination to fight back? They didn't fight back. No. They laid down and they got beat play after play, quarter after quarter, and never responded. Never responded. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. Is San Francisco a better team? If the Bears played them tomorrow, a week from now, a month from now, the Bears would get it handed to them every time. But to take a beating physically and mentally the way they did for four quarters and not respond, that is totally and completely unacceptable in any dictionary, in any football dictionary, and in any football coach's mind or any player's mind. I don't know what the hell, how they didn't fight back. It's come back somewhere in the third or fourth quarter and, I mean, take somebody on and fight. And it was embarrassing.
Absolutely, and I know you guys, and I know you pride yourself not only from your own days, but from watching this organization of which you've been a part of for all these years. And I've watched games with you in person, so I know how you guys take it. When you were witnessing this yourselves, you must have been steaming. And you're right. Like I said, the only guy who showed a little bit of emotion and fight, and he was PO'd, to be honest with you, after the game and during it, was Brandon Marshall. But beyond that,
nobody.
You saw nothing.
Nothing. You saw nothing from nobody, not even the coaches. See, Lovey waits till the end of the game to talk to these guys. I'd have had them on that bench, and I'd have been ripping their ass from one way to another because of the fact was they were sleepwalking. I don't know why they were sleepwalking. This game was so built as far as going to be a rough, tough, physical game between two teams, and most of the prediction of the scores was 10-7, 3-2, 13-9, something like that. And the way it started out, exactly like you said, it was a rout. San Francisco maybe could have scored a hell of a lot more points.
Yeah, actually, you know what, guys? When it was at halftime, what was the score? I can't remember. It was 20-0, I think, at the half.
Something like that, yeah.
It felt like it was 50-0.
50-0, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, the yardage was something like 250-35 at the half. I mean, it was ridiculous. And you know what? I'm going to ask you guys, because, again, I always defer to you because you played the game. We've talked about this for 9 years now that he's been the head coach. He shows no emotion. If their head coach cannot show you Firestone and brim and Firestone, whatever the terminology is, at some juncture in a huge game like this, does that not rub off on your players? I ask you guys.
I got to tell you, if you do it all the time, you become immune to it. You just let it go over top of your head. But let me tell you something. There come certain times that you have to do that. And here's another one, a little tidbit, just above that. You want to talk to me about a leader? Let me talk about the football player, the player himself out in the field. And that's Urlacher. That's the guys that are leading this team. They're the ones. Also, they got to get their head out of their asses and start firing on these guys.
Didn't see it, Doug.
No, I didn't see it at all either. All I saw was this sheepish look like, oh, woe is me. Woe is me. They're beating me up. Woe is me. There wasn't any kind of fight to nobody.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I sat next to a lot of the Bears brass up in the press box. They knew this game was over about 5 minutes into this.
Yeah.
They were resigned to the fact also. They saw it.
You can see it. I mean, again, too, we go back and again, like you said, it's not over. The season's not over. I understand that. But so much more was expected out of this football team. You know, even if they would have lost, the fact it was, you know, it would have been a tight game, a tough game, a real physical back and forth. They did this, you did that. It was a one-way deal for San Francisco. And tip your hat to Jim Harbaugh. Because he had that football club ready to go, David.
I will say this, guys. They will still make the playoffs. They'll be a wild card. I think Green Bay will end up winning this division. But I can see them winning three more games, splitting the rest of the games. They'll beat Detroit because that's a dog of a team, especially at the end of the season when they got nothing to play for. They'll beat Arizona, like you mentioned, Eddie.
Bingo. Yeah.
I think they'll take one of two from Minnesota. But everything else is a possible and probable loss. So at 10-6, they'll be a wild card, finishing second to Green Bay in the division. And after that, God knows.
Then get wiped out in the playoffs.
Probably so. Right?
Yeah, the way they play tonight. Thanks, David. Have a safe trip back.
Be safe.
All right, buddy. All right, let's go out to Matt in Las Vegas, Nevada. Matt, you're on the score.
Hey, looking OB. How you guys doing?
What's up, Matt?
Rough night tonight, fellas.
Oh, terrible.
Oh, man. It was tough, man. Long time Chicagoan. Thank you for putting us on, dude. Really appreciate it. Hey, all I wanted to say, man, like a couple of things, actually, a couple of quick points. The offensive line is terrible. We knew that was going to be the case. I mean, tomato cans, that's our offensive line, isn't it, Doug?
No, there's no question. You know what, though? Did you honestly believe? I knew they were bad. Did you think they were this bad? What we saw tonight, I mean, I never saw anything like that. It was like they had no kind of football training whatsoever, blocking, whatever. I mean, never saw guys get run over, literally run over.
Doug, I paused the DVR and snapped a pic of Jamarcus Webb and Gabe Kareemi both getting pancaked.
Yeah.
And I couldn't even find Jason Campbell.
I know.
That was rough stuff. So we knew that was going to be. But what I really wanted to talk about was the first half. Was so miserable because, like Schuster said, it was 20-0 at the end of the first half. The game was over, effectively. I mean, I know it's never over until it's over, but it was pretty much over at that point. And all I'm saying is that why in the first half did we target Brandon Marshall one time?
I guess maybe they thought the fact that let's go and get the running game going because they come out running. We have to establish the run. We're going to take the run. Then we'll do this and we'll do that. Well, they fell down for so many points so quickly because San Francisco went the other direction. They went with the play action. And they started using the tight ends, and they caught the tight ends. And Hayden made an extreme mistake and let Williams beat him for 57 yards coming out of the slot. And I don't know why they benched DJ Williams. So the fact is Hayden screwed up there, so that's 57 big yards. But they moved the ball at will. And that kid Kaepernick looked like he was an all-pro quarterback. There was no doubt about it. And there was no pressure. We got very few pressure, especially up in the inside. That offensive line from San Francisco are mean, hungry.
Yeah, Matt, it's just not what happened today, the first half, Matt. All you have to do is go back, almost the entire season, past nine games, and take a look offensively what we've done. We really haven't done a lot running the ball, passing the ball, or putting points on. If it hasn't been for our defense, there is no question about it. We wouldn't even be where we're at. We still have a fighting chance, but boy, I'll tell you what. Again, the whole number one disappointed thing to me, Matt, is these players did not respond.
That's it, Ed. Majestic Star, that's it. The post-game show on The Score, Sports Radio 670. Obradovich and Buffon, our phone number, 312-644-6767.
Yeah, you callers out there, I know we spent a lot of time with
John, Matt, Gary,
you guys,
Phil,
I
Bill,
promise
Mike,
you,
Chris, we'll get to
hang
you.
Hang in there, we're going to get to you.
This hour is brought to you by Family Hyundai. Welcome back to the Majestic Star post-game show on The Score, Sports Radio 670. Obradovich and Buffon. Our phone number, 312-644-6767, talking about the Chicago Bears' loss 32-7 to San Francisco. Let's go out to Gary in Palatine. Gary on The Score.
Gentlemen, how are you this evening?
All right,
what's up, Gary?
I respect you guys more than anything. You have the greatest post game anywhere in Chicago. Love the Bears. Love the fact that you guys played for the Bears, and I didn't go anywhere other than high school football. But anyways, I'm kind of trying to figure this out. You know, the Bears were embarrassed in this game. The Bears were, people, callers have been calling, say they've never seen the Bears team more dominated in any other game ever. Are you joking? Come on. They were dominated, yes, but not more. They've been dominated. I mean, the Carolina game this year, the Bears won the game against Carolina, and they were embarrassed. I'm telling you, they were embarrassed against that game with the Panthers this year.
But
you can't go and fire everybody. You can't. You had Campbell starting the game tonight. On either side there wasn't an NFL caliber quarterback tonight. That just hands down there wasn't. The Bears are the second best team in the division. Green Bay will win the division, but you got to look at the last 5 years. New Orleans Super Bowl 44? They were 13-3, I think. Giants and Pittsburgh had 10 wins. I think the Packers were an outside wild card. Mm-hmm. I think they were the 6 seed with 10 wins. Last year, the Giants, they had 9. They were 9-7. I mean,
9-7.
Bears are 7. The Bears are 7-3. They're not looking that bad. They were not that embarrassed. They didn't show up to the game tonight. They weren't prepared for the game, but they have not been. They've been embarrassed many more times in the history of this franchise than they were tonight.
Well, yeah, again, too, we can give you games that even I played and I was embarrassed, and Ed played and it was embarrassed. But the point is, when we're looking at it, see, the key is here in this town, we're always saying to ourselves, boy, don't get to the playoffs. Is that what we're really looking for here? I'm not looking to get to the playoffs, okay? I'm looking for, do we have a shot to go and take it, the big brass ring, and go and play good teams and play teams well? And what indication of is when you play a good team. Now, we played two teams that are good teams back-to-back and lost both of them. That's the part that's bothering me, because I say we'll get to the playoffs. Because you got Arizona coming up, you've got Seahawks coming up, you got two in Minnesota, one in Detroit. That's not the problem. I think that'll happen. But again, too, every time we seem to face a good team, it all goes up in smoke. And not the fact that, okay, it goes up in smoke, but how it went up in smoke. We got destroyed. It wasn't a football game. If you thought that was a football game tonight, it wasn't a football game. It wasn't a game. We got ruined. And so I think that's what puts doubt into the back of everybody's mind, saying, hold on, what the hell is going to happen to us if we do get to the playoffs? When we do meet a good football team, what do we become? Where are we? And there's no, that offensive line, like I said, I only saw it one time worse was when Cutler played against the Giants a couple of years ago, and he almost got put in a body bag. But other than that, I never saw anything like that. You can't continue to play that way.
Well, just the key, what we're talking about here, is that they didn't respond. The players individually, just talk about the offensive line, did not respond. They did not. They took a beating for fourth quarters, and that's exactly what happened out there. And why, I don't know. But I'm sure that hopefully Mike Tyson, Lovey, can figure it out and straighten that one out. If you're going to get beat, if you're going to go down fighting. Don't go down like this.
I mean, and I myself didn't see this coming this badly. You know, there's a good chance that they'd have lost to San Francisco because they're playing on the road. You're going from, you know, from the East Coast to the West Coast, and that's always a big factor. But not like this. I mean, this was, you were destroyed. The game was over 6-7 minutes into the game. Let's go out to Chris and Lyle. Chris, you're on the score.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
All right, Chris.
Hey, I just wanted to get your guys' opinion whether the Bears can win another Super Bowl under their current ownership, where our former mayor thinks it's a great idea to increase revenue, and he thinks that Chicago could have another sports franchise that could, you know, potentially get enough revenue, build another stadium, because I don't see this franchise going anywhere underneath the McCaskies. They're not making the proper adjustments. They're not going to let go of Lovie Smith with money on his contract. You know, they basically pulled the hose on Jerry Angelo, and they're still in the hole. So what do you guys think?
Well, I don't know about another team here. I know with George Halas, when he first, you know, again, too, and Ed can talk a little bit about that, there was no way another team was going to come into this town.
No, I think, that, you know, they talk about, you hear from other people, Al Davis and some other people started, you know, and talking about who started the merge. There was one man, clearly, that started the merge, and he saw it coming, was George Halas. He basically was the starter of the history of the National Football League, was due to George Halas, and I think he saw that merger, I mean, that coming down the road, that these teams are not going away. And the reason why, Doug, because all the owners in the new AFL, when they started, the AFL, I mean, when it started, Doug, those were guys that had a lot of money. And I think, as far as I know, and I'm pretty sure I'm correct on this, is that the person that started the merger between the two leagues was George Halas. And the reason why he did it, there will never
unwritten rule
be that's right, there will never be another NFL franchise in the city of Chicago, period.
I think what it is, you know, Emery just came in, he just got looking at what's going on here. You know, I had him take a look at the rookie situation. All most of the rookies that, you know, we drafted, they're hurt, you know, again too. But they brought guys in, they're supposed to help. Campbell was going to help because we got stuck last year. Remember, we were 7-3, and we just went down the tubes and lost five games. And Campbell was supposed to be a guy to come in here to help us out, having a quarterback. But that day, tonight's game wasn't the quarterback. I mean, they're, you know, again, too. Sure, you can have a better quarterback. Cutler would be a better quarterback. But it didn't matter because I never saw a quarterback that could play back there that way under that much pressure,
well,
Ed.
Yeah.
And continually being pounced around.
Let me tell you something. Here, folks, the bottom line is here. You saw that performance tonight, okay? You saw what they did, and you saw what we did, or we tried to do. Folks, this was the 10th game of a 16-game schedule. The 10th game of a 16-game schedule. And you tell me, folks out there, what the hell were we trying to do offensively? What pattern, what did we try to do? Running the ball, passing the ball? What was our philosophy? What has been our philosophy? And it's week after week, and you saw it out there today. Take a look at the other team we played tonight with a kid that never started a game in the National Football League and ran from, I don't know, 4, 5, 6, 7 different formations and ran it efficiently, moved the ball, converted on third down. He didn't panic and scored points. And then look at what we did in the 10th game with a $3.5 million backup quarterback who started 71 games. If that doesn't make you sick, I don't know what will.
Again, too, the fact is that anytime you look at offenses or defenses, you look to the defensive line, you look to the offensive line. That's where it is. That's where it starts. That's where it happens. And they create plays. Defensively with sacks, offense with protecting your quarterback. Neither of that stuff really happened tonight. We didn't have neither of that. Offensive obviously never looked that bad. I'm talking about the offensive line. And a defensive line and didn't do that well. So when it's all said and done with it, not only with the continuity of the plays, what it's called, but actually the players out on the field. But I think we'll all go back to the same thing. We're going to go back to the fact is that are they that confused that they're lost all their fight in themselves? That when they want to go out there and say, listen, you know what? These guys are slapping us around. This guy is doing this. This guy's doing that. Let's buck up here. We didn't see that. Well, I didn't see that. I didn't see a player step forward and say, okay, you know, enough's enough. I'm not going to take it anymore.
And I never thought I'd see that from
me
these
neither.
Kids, especially when you have leadership like Briggs.
I never thought
and
I would
Urlacher
see that. Never.
And Peanut. I thought that, you know, like they didn't see that they were getting knocked the hell from one end of the field to the other and to sit there and take it for that long.
I didn't see the fight.
No.
Let's go out to Bill and Palatine. Bill, you're on the score. Billy.
Ask you a question about question on coaching judgment by the Bears. I just have to make a comment as well. Going back to that Tennessee game where, you know, the Bears were winning, you had the offense and the defensive starters on the side of the field, everybody celebrating, happy, smiling, like, you know, and it was a great game. But they're acting like they're in the playoffs already. Okay, even in that game, the offense came on, but not till the third quarter and the end of that game.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
They were riding the coattails of the defense. They were riding the coattails of the defense.
Exactly.
And now tonight's game, as you guys have said, everybody's been saying tonight, it starts with an offensive line, starts with a defensive line. That is what football is about, okay? We all know that. Now, my question for you guys is, after all this pathetic offensive line by the Bears that we all know about, my question is...
This hour is brought to you by Family Hyundai. Welcome back to the Majestic Star postgame show on the Score, Sports Radio 670, Obradovich and Buffon. Our phone number, 312-644-6767, talking about the Chicago Bears' loss, 32-7 to San Francisco. Let's go out to Gary in Palatine. Gary, on the score.
Gentlemen, how are you this evening?
All right,
what's up, Gary?
I respect you guys more than anything. You have the greatest postgame anywhere in Chicago. Love the Bears. Love the fact that... Yes, played for the Bears, and I didn't go anywhere other than high school football. But anyways, I'm kind of trying to figure this out. You know, the Bears were embarrassed in this game. The Bears were callers have been calling say they've never seen a Bears team more dominated in any other game ever. Are you joking? Come on, they were dominated. Yes. But not more. They've been dominant. I mean, the Carolina game this year, the Bears won the game against Carolina, and they were embarrassed. I'm telling you, they were embarrassed against that game with the Panthers this year. You can't go and fire everybody. You can't. You had Campbell starting the game tonight. On either side, there wasn't an NFL caliber quarterback tonight. That's just hands down. There wasn't. The Bears are the second best team in the division. Green Bay will win the division, but you got to look at the last 5 years. deal near the, what was it, New Orleans Super Bowl 44. They were 13-3. I think Giants and Pittsburgh had 10 wins. I think the Packers were an outside wild card. Mm-hmm. I think they were the 6 seed with 10 wins. Last year the Giants, they had nine. They were 9-7. I think they were 9-7. I mean,
9-7.
Bears are 7. The Bears are 7-3. They're not looking that bad. They were not that embarrassed. They didn't show up to the game tonight. They weren't prepared for the game, but they have not. They've been embarrassed many more times in the history of this franchise than they were tonight.
Well, yeah, again, too, we can give you games that even I played and I was embarrassed, and Ed played and it was embarrassed. But the point is, when we're looking at it, see, the key is here in this town, we're always saying to ourselves, boy, don't get to the playoffs. Is that what we're really looking for here? I'm not looking to get to the playoffs, okay? I'm looking for, do we have a shot to go and take it, the big brass ring, and go and play good teams and play teams well? And what indication of is when you play a good team. Now, we played two teams that are good teams back-to-back and lost both of them. That's the part that's bothering me, because I say we'll get to the playoffs because you got Arizona coming up, you've got Seahawks coming up, you got two in Minnesota, one in Detroit. That's not the problem. I think that'll happen. But again, too, every time we seem to face a good team, it all goes up in smoke. And not the fact that, okay, it goes up in smoke, but how it went up in smoke. We got destroyed. It wasn't a football game. If you thought that was a football game tonight, it wasn't a football game. It wasn't a game. We got ruined. And so I think that's what puts doubt into the back of everybody's mind, saying, hold on, what the hell is going to happen to us if we do get to the playoffs? When we do meet a good football team, what do we become? Where are we? And there's no, that offensive line, like I said, I only saw it one time worse was when Cutler played against the Giants a couple of years ago and he almost got put in a body bag. But other than that, I never saw anything like that. You can't continue to play that way.
Well, just the key, what we're talking about here is that they didn't respond. The players individually, just talk about the offensive line, did not respond. They did not. They took a beating for fourth quarters, and that's exactly what happened out there. And why, I don't know, but I'm sure that hopefully Mike Tyson, Lovey, can figure it out and straighten that one out. If you're going to get beat, if you're going to go down fighting. Don't go down like this.
I mean, and I myself didn't see this coming this badly. You know, there's a good chance that they'd have lost to San Francisco because they're playing on the road. You're going from the, you know, from the East Coast to the West Coast, and that's always a big factor. But not like this. I mean, this was, you were destroyed. The game was over 6-7 minutes into the game. Let's go out to Chris and Lyle. Chris, you're on the score.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
All right, Chris.
Hey, I just wanted to get your guys' opinion whether the Bears can win another Super Bowl under their current ownership, where our former mayor thinks it's a great idea to increase revenue, and he thinks that Chicago could have another sports franchise that could, you know, potentially get enough revenue, build another stadium, because I don't see this franchise going anywhere underneath the McCaskies. They're not making the proper adjustments. They're not going to let go of Lovie Smith with money on a contract. You know, they basically pulled the hose on Jerry Angelo, and they're still in the hole. So what do you guys think?
Well, I don't know about another team here. I know with George Halas, when he first, you know, again, too, and Ed can talk a little bit about that, there was no way another team was going to come into this town.
No, I think, that, you know, they talk about, you hear from other people, Al Davis and some other people started, you know, and talking about who started the merge. There was one man, clearly, that started the merge, and he saw it coming, was George Halas. He basically was the starter of the history of the National Football League, was due to George Halas, and I think he saw that merger, I mean, that coming down the road, that these teams are not going away. And the reason why, Doug, because all the owners in the new AFL, when they started, AFL, I mean, when it started, Doug, those were guys that had a lot of money. And I think, as far as I know, and I'm pretty sure I'm correct on this, is that the person that started the merger between the two leagues was George Halas. And the reason why he did it, there will never
unwritten rule
be that's right, there will never be another NFL franchise in the city of Chicago, period.
I think what it is, you know, Emery just came in, he just got looking at what's going on here. You know, I had him take a look at the rookie situation. All most of the rookies that, you know, we drafted, they're hurt. You know, again, too. But they brought guys in. They're supposed to help. Campbell was going to help because we got stuck last year. Remember, we were 7-3, and we just went down the tubes and lost five games. And Campbell was supposed to be a guy to come in here to help us out, having a quarterback. But that day, tonight's game wasn't the quarterback. I mean, you know, again, too. Sure, you can have a better quarterback. Cutler would be a better quarterback. But it didn't matter because I never saw a quarterback that could play back there that way under that much pressure,
well,
Ed.
Yeah.
And continually being pounced around.
Let me tell you something. Here, folks, the bottom line is here. You saw that performance tonight, okay? You saw what they did, and you saw what we did, or we tried to do. Folks, this was the 10th game of a 16-game schedule. The 10th game of a 16-game schedule. And you tell me, folks out there, what the hell were we trying to do offensively? What pattern? What did we try to do? Running the ball? Passing the ball? What was our philosophy? What has been our philosophy? And it's week after week, and you saw it out there today. Take a look at the other team we played tonight with a kid that never started a game in the National Football League and ran from, I don't know, 4, 5, 6, 7 different formations and ran it efficiently, moved the ball, converted on third down. He didn't panic and scored points. And then look at what we did in the 10th game with a $3.5 million backup quarterback who started 71 games. If that doesn't make you sick, I don't know what will.
Again, too, the fact is that anytime you look at offenses or defenses, you look to the defensive line, you look to the offensive line. That's where it is. That's where it starts. That's where it happens. And they create plays. Defensively with sacks, offense with protecting your quarterback. Neither of that stuff really happened tonight. We didn't have neither of that. Offensive obviously never looked that bad. I'm talking about the offensive line. And a defensive line didn't do that well. So when it's all said and done with it, not only with the continuity of the plays, what it's called, but actually the players out on the field. But I think we'll all go back to the same thing. We're going to go back to the fact is that are they that confused that they're lost all their fight in themselves? That when they want to go out there and say, listen, you know what? These guys are slapping us around. This guy is doing this. This guy is doing that. Let's buck up here. We didn't see that. Well, I didn't see that. I didn't see a player step forward and say, okay, you know, enough's enough. I'm not going to take it anymore.
And I never thought I'd see that from these
neither.
Kids, especially when you have leadership like Briggs.
I never thought
and
I would
Urlacher
see that. Never.
And Peanut. I thought that, you know, like they didn't see that they were getting knocked the hell from one end of the field to the other. And to sit there and take it for that long?
I didn't see the fight.
No.
Let's go out to Bill in Palatine. Bill, you're on the score. Billy.
Ask you a question about question on coaching judgment by the Bears. I just have to make a comment as well. Going back to that Tennessee game where, you know, the Bears were winning, you had the offense and the defensive starters on the side of the field, everybody celebrating, happy, smiling, like, you know, and it was a great game. But they're acting like they're in the playoffs already. Okay, even in that game, the offense came on, but not till the third quarter in the end of that game.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
They were riding the coattails of the defense. They were riding the coattails of the defense.
Exactly.
And now tonight's game, as you guys have said, everybody's been saying tonight, it starts with an offensive line, starts with a defensive line. That is what football is about, okay? We all know that. Now, my question for you guys is, after all this pathetic offensive line by the Bears that we all know about, my question is...
But I was totally shocked with Karimi tonight.
I tell you what, I'm really puzzled about Karimi too, Doug.
Yeah, man.
And to our listeners out there, I mean, my Lord, to see that kid play after play out there, and get absolutely plummeled inside and out and run over. And that's not only this game, Doug. His last few games have not been too good.
They have not been good.
I don't know. No. I mean, how big does somebody have? My God, the kid is 6'7 and weighs, what, 320, 330? How big do you have to be?
And that kid at Wisconsin, they were pretty damn good. That offensive line.
Doug, and not only that, to get beat, but to get put on your back. two or three times.
Embarrassed.
Put right flat on your back and run over you like you're a doormat.
Yeah.
Wow.
That shocked me too, Ed. Like I said, Webb doesn't shock me anymore. Whatever he does, it does not shock me.
He's that guy. Forget about it.
Yeah. Let's go out to David in Germany. David, you're on the score.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, Dave?
Hey, I just wanted to throw it out there. I'm a diehard Bears fan. I obviously stayed up till 2:30 in the morning to watch this absolutely 100% pathetic game.
I
called my dad on Skype, and I basically watched the game with him, and I told him the only reason I watched the end of that game was just because, you know, I stayed up that late to watch it. But wow, I'm almost 24, so I came up through that late 90s era. Mm-hmm. When we went through the real garbage years, the 3-13 years, the 4-12 years, the just absolute trash when Craig Boniel was our kicker and couldn't make a kick past 35 yards. Like those were the years I grew up as a Bears fan. Okay.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. I still had heroes back then. Okay. That Mike Wells blocked field goal in Chicago when they beat the Packers at the end of the year.
Right.
We still, like you said, we still had heroes back then. We still had fighters. The sad fact of tonight, gentlemen, is that we're seeing that this league is coming to be about paychecks. It's all about a paycheck now. It has nothing to do with the game. Just like you said, the only one who only had any kind of emotion was probably Marshall Urlacher a little bit. But you know what? Urlacher is a general on that defense, a general. That's his job, to go out there and get these guys pissed off enough so that, like you said, maybe we start slapping them around a little bit. But Monday Night Football, come on. And then we complain when ESPN doesn't talk about the Chicago Bears. Gee, I wonder why. Maybe it's because whenever we're at a national level, a national stage, we completely and utterly embarrass ourselves. But anyway, the things I want to talk about are things that have, you know, you could sit here and you could talk about the line all night. You could talk. I agree that defensive end draft was an idiot choice. We've been saying draft linemen for how many years now? But this is what brings me into my point, okay? Number one, tonight, there were two backup quarterbacks playing for both teams. One of those quarterbacks came to play. The other didn't. You know what I put that on? Not the quarterbacks. I put this on the coaching staff.
Absolutely. Okay? Absolutely.
Like you said, how this guy was able to run through this playbook with all these different schemes and whatnot, I have no idea. Okay. For some reason, the Bears, it's like a one step forward, two step back. Okay. We get rid of Ron Turner. We get rid of Ron Turner, we get rid of D'Angelo, but we keep Lovey and this Mike Tice offense. Like, you know, I could run a better offensive scheme than this guy. It's so predictable. It's back to the same old – it reminds me of Ron Turner. That's why I wrote that down.
Well, David, the thing that you're seeing is – and Lovey tells you, whoever they're going to play – They want the defense. They don't want the defense to give the ball away, convert, kick a field goal or two, or get a touchdown, and the defense and special teams will win the game. And I know you're David. It's hard to believe, but I mean that's his philosophy. You know, you look at other teams around the league. You look at the New England Patriots. Boy, if you watched them yesterday, what a show they put on. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. And what a show they put on, too, for that Kaepernick. I'll tell you what, for that kid to run from so many different formations with efficiency, move that ball up and down the field, calm and cool, that's a tribute, obviously, to that kid, but to their coaching staff. So that kid, did he absorb an offensive system that never started a game? And look at us. Look at us after 10 games. That's what's disheartening.
Well, hopefully next week, Ed, a little different. We play the Vikings and hopefully...
That team that, you know, team
Peterson,
that we can beat, Doug. Yeah, and it,
they could do some damage, but
you know,
hopefully that this team is embarrassed when they come back and they take that film. Usually they do something like that and they burn it and they jump all over these guys and say, listen, you know what, let's see what we can do.
You know what I would do, Doug, and normally I'd agree with you on something like that, to take the film and burn it. Sometimes you got to do that, but I'm going to tell you what. To get to not stand up on a man-to-man, and I'm especially talking about the offense, okay, to stand up and to take a beating like that, to get put on your back time after time, and you're the size of a mountain, and you get slapped around like that, and you do not retaliate, you do not fight back.
I think that's the theme of the whole evening, and I think
that's
why
what absolutely galls me. I can't.
Everybody's mad.
Hell?
That's why.
Exactly.
You know, that's
got to be why.
Because you know what? We're not here to say, okay, fine. Sure, they were better. Our point is, where was the fight? There was no fight in the dog yet. I mean, that's a fact.
Yeah.
So hopefully,
did you hear
week,
a draft gonna come in the studio?
Oh, wait a minute.
Who is that guy?
Who is that guy?
Who is that mask man?
There's no draft. There's hot air.
Hot air.
Who is that mask man?
Who is that guy?
This was not the worst game the Bears ever played in Candlestick Park, by the way. In 2000, Cade McNown didn't even get across midfield once, and they had a mutiny because they all went to Dick Geron and said, if he plays the finale,
that's right,
game, we don't want to play.
Give it to him.
Les. How did you know
and
that?
Your boy that you loved so much, Shane Matthews, started the game. He got hurt the second series. Look who replaced him, Cade McNown.
Yeah, there's another guy. Well, anyway, at least we know that. Thanks to
that
Herb Lawrence.
The walking encyclopedia.
Brett Lyons, Zach Withers, Rick Camp. Up next, Les Grobstein. He'll tell you the whole story. Thank you for listening.
Listen to Les.
Next week, Minnesota Vikings. Bring them on.
Go Bears.